flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Don't stop, keep it moving, put your drinks up. Pick your body up and drink
it on the floor. BT, back on the fan. I'm distracted here. We just got a bad text from my wife. Never ends.
Oh, I have no idea what this is.
No, it just happened now.
Hold on. Before we hear this, just so everybody knows, 20 seconds ago, he was in a fantastic mood.
I was. We were talking about how much fun we're having.
St. John's to the show. What happened?
There's water leaking from the ceiling into the living room.
In the living room.
So it's coming from upstairs. I go, this is a major problem now. It never ends. It never ends. Could be coming from the upstairs. Like, what do we do here?
All right, well, first obviously you have to call a plumber.
That's what
I'm
saying.
To see, is the bathroom above it? Is it a pipe? Is it a sink? I mean, it's probably a pipe up there. Oh, God, pipes are the worst.
So
they
now
break
we have to
through
get
the wall.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, if they do.
Yeah, well,
that
if,
sucks,
it's,
man.
If it's leaking through the halo or whatever in the ceiling,
yeah, in all
they're
probability,
gonna have to cut through.
100%.
Yeah,
because they can't see what it is unless they get in there.
Right, they're not going to go through the floor in the bathroom upstairs.
No, they'd have to cut up. They'd go from the ceiling. Because that happened in my basement a couple years ago.
Anyway.
Dude.
So what we were going to say...
Isn't it lovely owning a home, Sal?
No, dude, I want out.
In a beautiful neighborhood?
I want out. I want to rent some two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
I do love the house.
I know.
This is just...
Dude, plumbers aren't cheap either. And plumbers are the kind of people, like electricians. They're all... Yeah, most of them are really good guys working hard and gals. But they... I don't know anything about that stuff because my dad didn't know anything about that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, you can tell me 200, you can tell me 2,000.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't check you on that.
Whatever
I have
it is,
no idea.
I just want to get it done. And just one less.
God.
Anyway, the fun that we were talking about that we had, and by the way, we have a special announcement coming up at 11:40, so stay tuned for that. Last night at the world's most famous, watching the Johnnies, and it pertains to the Jets, and we'll get back to the Jets calls here in a second, but I alluded to this earlier, BT, but it was great. You hooked us up, St. John's hooked us up, Hoff and I were on the courtside on the floor, watching the Johnnies come back against Xavier, so it was a fun game, the atmosphere was great. You were right about that, and I do feel like now, even, you know, Vac's been writing about it for a while, but you're just starting to get the feeling that the Johnnies are becoming more relevant. You mentioned the rankings a week ago, first time since 85, but it was a good... That was great.
Since 2014, but their start is the highest since the mid-80s. Their
best
start.
Okay.
No, I got you.
Ranked the highest since...
2014 with Lavin, December 2014.
And it's the best start since
the mid-80s.
Okay.
And they went to the Final Four in 85.
Now, it'd be nice if they started out these games playing solid. I know they're without their point guard.
Davon Smith, they need him. They cannot... Their ceiling lower significantly. They need him because he gets some easy buckets. He moves up and down the court. He is a great athlete.
But people are into it again.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be even bigger as we get toward March Madness.
Marquette,
and the Big East
UConn, playing them soon.
I'm looking forward to that game against Marquette. All of a sudden, it's on my radar. Like, I think it was a great thing, great experience.
The music, just the in-game vibe. I told you, it's really,
it was
kind of like
energy.
A scene, right?
Great
you
energy.
Have a good time? I could talk about this. I want to hear more about your experience. I do this all the time.
We saw Dave Sims there, which was nice.
Dave was doing the game.
Bruce back.
Yeah.
You know, took some pictures with some fans, St. John's fans. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. I heard Petito's son's a pretty old getting into the game.
So that's kind of what I wanted to get to. Now, yeah, Patino's son's fired up. It was just awesome. It was awesome being courtside for that and seeing that. And I'm happy the Johnnies won. I can't wait to talk more about that.
Okay.
But this all starts from Rick Pitino. A note. Now, could the Johnnies have said, hey, you know what? We like this young, up-and-coming coach, but he's inexperienced, but we're going to take a chance on him. Or Chris Mullin, hey, former legend, St. John's legend.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of us. He's going to turn it around. I know you love Molly.
I love multi-time favorite player. Didn't work out.
Okay. Which is fine. And then they went and got the no doubt about it program changer and Rick Pitino. And what are you seeing instantly? It's a totally different feel. So if we've seen that work, in this case in St. John's with Pitino, who is a legend, that they were fortunate to hire. They were in a, you know, Pitino's at a spot in his career that he was even available for the St. John's job. And they finally made the right decision and said, screw everything else.
Well, they finally took a chance.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, St. John's, I'm Catholic too, but... I mean, when you're, it might come out the wrong way, so I don't even want to say I think St. John's had to modernize their position a little bit and be open to somebody who's apologized for his mistakes in the past, like Patino has. Right. Finally, they woke up.
That's exactly right. You just nailed it. And look what's happening right in front of our eyes. So if I've seen that work before, and it's not just with St. John's or Rick Pitino, you could go to Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, all the experienced guys when they get hired in the next spot, generally build up, like Doug Peterson didn't work in Jacksonville, and maybe Doug Peterson was just a fluke one-off with the Eagles, whatever. I still think he's a good offensive mind. It didn't work out. Doesn't mean it was the wrong hire, but it didn't work out there. But generally, if you hire that guy that's available, and the only holes that you could poke in Pete Carroll was his age, I mean, it's not like Patino's some youngster either.
No, he's actually right around that. What's Pete, 74? Rick, 72. Okay. So they're a year apart.
Right.
But who projects more youthfully? That's true.
And I want to go back. I still didn't do it and listen to your Unkillable podcast that you had Patino on, but all those things that I'm sure he talked about in building a program back up, being a leader, I value that. I believe in that. And I think if any team has been screaming for that, it's been the New York Jets.
I don't think that there was a Pitino out there for the Jets to hire, but I understand the loose comparisons to Carroll. Understood. Yeah. Like, I think Rick is much higher at his craft than Pete Carroll at his. I think Rick's one of the five best college coaches of all time.
All right.
Honestly, you talk John Wooden, you talk Dean Smith.
I mean, Pete Carroll won a national championship, Super Bowl.
He's great. But Rick fixed, Providence in year two to the Final Four, Kentucky coming off when they were basically like SMU, the death sentence. Remember that? When Rick went to Kentucky, they had no scholarships.
Right.
You know, a couple years later, they're winning things. They had first round picks. He turned the Knicks around. Hubie Brown, who I love. You know, Hubie had four straight losing seasons with Patrick for two of them. Rick comes in the first year, makes the playoffs. Second year, they win 52 games with the Knicks. Like, Rick is, I'm not saying that Pete's not special. I just think that Rick is more special. And by the way, before I get it back to the Jets, I was disappointed in this because I do the podcast and some of these, like, reactions, Jets, Pats. Like, they get 40,000-50,000 views on YouTube for whatever reason. And I want more, starting things out here. I've only done 20 episodes. Right. The Pitino podcast was buried, and I cannot believe how low the viewage is.
It should be more because people are missing the boat
on that. It's my favorite conversation that I've ever had. Jet fans, Giant fans, whatever team that you root for that's down, you need to go and find this, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or on YouTube, WFAN, just Unkillable. Go find it. And what Pitino talked about was, you got to look people in the eyes, and now you've got to have the instincts, and you got to trust them. And you've got to find out at the most basic level who is willing to fight for you. And if they're not, then they must leave the building.
Bingo! I love it. It's pretty simple.
That's how it starts.
Now, you have to be able to detect that. You also have to be strong enough to say, I don't care how much you're getting paid or what your resume was prior. If you detect that he's not into it, get out! And he's going to do that, Pitino. I don't
already
know.
Already did. He basically told five kids to leave when he took over the team last year.
And I think that others, Harbaugh, I believe Carroll, pick a guy. I believe that they would, Gruden, same thing. I believe that, now, again, you can say the game is past some of these guys, but whatever it may be. But those guys, I believe, who have had the ultimate success before can do that. I don't know if Aaron Glenn is going to do that. And even worse, I don't know if Woody and the inexperienced GM is going to allow him to do
that. He might not. Now, here's the difference between, just to continue with Rick for a second here. So, Aaron Glenn and Rick. So, if you listen to the podcast and you hear Rick, it's not about me. It's about Rick and his. I was just so intrigued by how do you do this, man? Like, because at Rick's press conference, he looked in the camera and said, St. John's will be back. I guarantee it. And I'm sitting there saying, not that I didn't believe it, but I'm sitting there, dude, I've called 500 St. John's games from 2003. And it's been misery for the most part. Like, how, I know he's going to change it, but how is he that confident? And one thing that he said, and this is what I don't think Aaron Glenn will necessarily have the freedom to do, unlike Rick. So Rick even said, he's like, I'd rather take somebody who's a little less talented, but I know when we run sprints at the end of practice, when we're pumping weights in the weight room, he is maxing out and he's finishing first, second, or third, even if he's not the fastest kid on the team. And that sets a tone, others follow, and then eventually the talent that you bring in has a similar work ethic, worth, and now you have a chance to win a championship, right. Okay? Now, Rick can walk in because he's Rick and go, all right, I want this, I want that, I want this, this has to change, get rid of this guy, you're gone, change this, fix the weight room, build the new building, let's go, because he's done it. Can Aaron Glenn do that? He can't. So if there, let's say Aaron Glenn doesn't like, and I don't mean personally, but doesn't view Sauce as an all-in kind of corner, but Woody doesn't want to get rid of him. And Aaron Glenn says to Woody and his GM, listen, I know we had a couple of good years. He's not a good tackler. He's not getting better. He's not in the weight room all in. I think we should move on. I don't think we should. Are they going to listen?
Right.
To your point, I don't know.
And that's why I wanted Woody to finally say, this has been going wrong, the way that we've been doing things. It hasn't worked. Let me get somebody in here like Rick Pitino. So if in my opinion, that is Pete Carroll, he was the closest thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring him in and let him go through all the stuff of the building. Here's what's wrong. This needs to change. This guy needs to go. This player needs to go. This needs to be built up. All those different things. I saw it at Columbia, much lower level, with Al Bagnoli, who was the greatest Ivy League head coach.
We talked about him
a
couple of months ago.
Yeah, and like, it was the you couldn't be bigger losers than the
they
Columbia
were winless
football
every
team.
Year.
Yeah, he comes in and he was one of those guys that said kind of what you were saying. I don't know if it was Aaron Glenn or, but basically one of those. Oh yeah, I could fix that. Or it wasn't. He didn't realize how bad it was until he got in there.
Usually don't.
Now he never ended up winning a championship, but he certainly built it up to respectability.
He did,
and they allowed him to. Hey, we need this facility. It's got to be indoors so we can train in the winter indoors and become like. All those things that you know an experienced, successful head coach can bring. That's what I thought the Jets needed, which is why it's not about Aaron Glenn. It's more about their situation and circumstance. I wanted a no doubt about it program changer. And Aaron Glenn, he could turn into a great coach.
He could change
your
program, but he's not coming in as a program. I understand what you're saying. All right, before we get back to the calls here, Hoff, I need you as well.
Yeah, so, when are we going back courtside to the Johnnies?
I'll get you back out there. I mean, it might not be on the court again, but...
Oh, no, it's tough to go backwards.
Well, you could actually go a little bit more towards midcourt, maybe.
I'm fine with that. Whatever.
I'm fine with that. Oh, well, I'm fine with that. Oh, I'm okay with being by midcourt rather than on the baseline front row.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, but you got to be honest here, because I will be totally honest. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys had better seats than me, because where me and Mink do the game, you saw me, obviously, is higher, which sucks.
You have a great vantage point, though. Like the shot.
Yeah, but the Garden got great, and I get it. We used to sit right next to St. John's bench for basically 15, 20 years. And then they said, well, we could sell these seats for thousands. So I get that. So we got squeezed upstairs.
Right, so BT?
The Knicks and the Rangers. Okay, so it's not just St. John's. So you guys had a better seat. I'm looking down at you a few times.
Yeah.
Both of you. You know, Hop's big, broad shoulders and your shiny head.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, these guys brought the mush, man. They're mush heads. At any point in the game, were you thinking that you were going to have to deal with some mush pushback today?
Not the first half, because I figured that's par for the course with St. John.
Yeah, they do that
for whatever reason. And it was more so when St. John started making a little bit of a run, but then Xavier would knock down a three and hit a shot. And I'm like, man, they're hitting their shots tonight.
Yeah.
By the way, did you notice how short Xavier's shorts were? What are we doing here?
No, I don't look at Derek Jeter's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
what do you mean?
They're short. Like, it didn't look comfy. They were like, half of my right.
Squeeze them out a little bit?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, number four on Xavier was, those things were about to pop. And
really?
How could you play with shorts?
Well,
so
I'll tell you
tight?
What.
If they played a good game, Xavier, I thought.
Xavier's actually, and Sean Miller's a tremendous coach. And they just beat Marquette over the weekend. So they were hot. They'd won three straight. If I was a college basketball player, I would probably go for the baggy shorts.
A little bit loose.
Almost like very loose, although that's kind of gotten, not quite Allen Iverson loose, but
that's
maybe a little
exactly
bit modified.
What I was gonna say.
Not quite like that, but if I had like really good thighs and I had a good, I might go for the real tight ones.
Well, that's what you were seeing last night with Xavier. Yes, I thought I was.
Were you a little worried? A little mush?
I thought, yes. There was a little part of me that was like.
You were at least aware of it.
Yes.
Okay.
I just didn't want to have I didn't want any issues. Like, I know it's really not my fault, but I didn't want to have any issues. Hoffa and I showing off.
I would have roasted you on the air today.
I
know
we're
going to have skewered you guys.
I wanted no part of that.
Hoff, were you. Now, Hoff seems to care less about that stuff. Were you. Worried's not the right word, but were you aware that you possibly were a mush job last night?
I wasn't worried that I was a mush job. I just thought that, like, you know, they let us down. St. John's going to let us down. I'm hearing all this big stuff, and all of a sudden I'm like, these guys can't score.
Yeah,
that's pretty brazen. That's an
good
interesting way to flip it on them.
Yeah, I like
right.
that. But,
yeah, okay.
But I'm not the mush, they're the mush.
That's a bold move right there, Huff.
They showed up in the second half. Luckily, it got that win, so it was nice.
That was a great night.
I was a little bit worried about that.
I was happy you guys came.
That was awesome. Let's get back to the Jets calls. Eric is in Clifton talking about the Jets general manager. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, guys? BT, it's like Seinfeld. You put this guy in first class, he doesn't want to go back to coach with the seating arrangement.
I can't go back to class.
I know.
I'm a first class guy now. I can't go back to business. Good.
Dal, I want to say good luck with the surgery next week and also now with the house. I mean, I'm a happily divorced man. I know it's like to go from laying pipe to having a fix, and it's never fun. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
my wife calling me during the show. I mean, guys, honey, come on. I'm on the air here.
She does that a lot, I notice.
I mean, what are we
doing?
She
does check it a lot during the show.
She tried to FaceTime me at 11:14.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway. Yeah, good.
Unless the water's coming through the ceiling, she's got to wait till 2 o'clock going forward.
That's right.
Just leave a nice little note.
It is coming through the ceiling. Somebody better get their rear end over there.
Yeah,
I need
call,
this
what's his
Mitch.
Name? Yeah, call Mitch. Mitch is on the scene. Mitch to the rescue.
To the sports.
What's up, man?
Speaking about Pete Carroll, I just kind of felt like he never recovered from not giving the ball to Marshawn Lynch 4 straight times inside the 3 against the pass. It just seems like that was the high water mark. I mean, if he doesn't win that Super Bowl the year before, he might have burnt his house to the ground up in Seattle for that. With regard to Harbaugh, he didn't interview with anywhere but the Chargers, to my knowledge. So I don't think he was going to go anywhere when he was leaving Michigan.
Didn't he talk to the Bears, Eric? I might be off on that. I know there was at least some perceptual interest because he played for the Bears, and obviously the Big Ten country, Chicago, Michigan proximity. I thought he spoke to the Bears, and if not, there was at least tepid interest. But, yeah, he didn't speak to a lot of teams. You're definitely right about that.
He had interviewed with the Broncos and one other team back in 21, but to my knowledge, there was nobody else that was really serious because they had a loaded roster. Glenn versus Sala. One main difference I noticed, Sala never had to deal with the injuries Glenn did this past year. And in the Washington game, Detroit lost a fumble, had 3 interceptions, and one was a pick 6. So I think that Glenn, you know, that game is just going to be tough. He did a lot with a real little this year. Which is going to tie me into my last point with regarding what you guys have going on and what you're dealing with regards to Eric Glenn. If you're looking for a GM, the name I would throw at you guys is Tom Telesco. My Raiders, I think, stupidly fired this guy. He tried moving up to get Jaden Daniels in the draft. Couldn't do it. Washington was never selling that pick. Joe Shane wanted to get the pick. I don't think that they were ever selling it. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So Telesco drafted Brock Bowers, probably one of the best position players.
So I wanted the Jets to get.
I mean, crazy. Who? Yeah, I mean, he had
receptions.
And then he drafted 2 guys on the offensive line that played really well. Look at the team that he left with the Chargers.
Well, then why did he get fired?
Justin Herbert. Tom Brady.
Yeah, they don't know what
Tom
they're
Brady's
doing.
Basically taken. They don't. We don't. I mean, Brady has essentially taken over my team. Yeah. I think he wanted to go after. He went after Ben Johnson Hart. There were some rumors out there that they were going to have a monster contract, and it looked like he used us just to get to Chicago. Because Sal, to your point, as a head coach, you want to go where the quarterback is, and you know, to me, look, at the end of the day, you guys. Telesco's biggest undoing was in with the Chargers because he got married to Brandon Staley and he just couldn't pick a coach. But if you look at his drafts were phenomenal the Chargers, and even with the Raiders, he got a good one.
And it's a
if
perfect
you pair him
name.
With Glenn, I think you got something cooking.
It's a perfect name, Eric, and thank you for the call and for the insight there. Now, again, I'd be lying to you if I said I knew the resume of Tom Telesco. I know the name, of course.
Yeah, me too.
And Eric
me
just
too.
Went over a little bit, but at least. It's why I brought up Dimitroff. He was the first one, I think, to get the interview with the Jets GM.
He was the first
one
they spoke to.
That's done it before that at least has had a modicum of success. Telesco fits that bill, and Thomas Dimitroff fits that bill, especially Telesco with the Chargers picking some players. And it's not like the Raiders were barren of talent. They had some success even a year ago, but I just feel like the Raiders are one of those dysfunctional messes that I'm not even sure Tom Brady could clean up, especially if he's spending half his time in the broadcast booth.
Mm. Who's worse, the Jets or the Raiders? I think they might be the Raiders. It's close. They're basically, we're Raiders West and or East. And
yeah, I don't know.
They're Jets West,
I mean,
if
look,
that
it's,
came out right.
It's not like the Jets are the only bad situation in the NFL or the only perennial losers, at least for the last 15 years, but...
No, but both of those teams recycling quarterbacks, recycling head coaches, recycling GMs. It just seems like it's a carousel.
I think the Raiders are more reactionary and... I would say slightly more dysfunctional, where it doesn't... Woody's not itching to pull the trigger to hire and fire guys.
I agree with you.
The way that I feel Mark Davis.
I agree with that.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. Special announcement coming in about 20 minutes. I got to now call my wife and figure out this damn leak. 888-808-1019. BT, it's Al on the Fan. On the Fan on this Thursday morning. We'll continue with the calls here. We'll have that special announcement coming up in about 12 minutes, so stick around for that. Philip is calling from Jamaica, Queens, talking about Aaron Glenn. What's up, Philip?
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, okay. You're welcome.
And I also want to say to Sal, I have glaucoma in both eyes, so I go through the laser surgery a lot, and my doctor's wonderful, and to me, there's not much to worry about.
Glaucoma seems pretty serious, so I hope you're dealing okay with that. I want no part of that. Let's hope that they can fix this up and get me good to go in a couple of weeks. But thank you for your concern, Philip. We appreciate it.
Okay, now I want to talk about Aaron Glenn.
Yeah.
I like the hiring, okay? But my problem with Aaron Glenn is, like you said, he's a first-time coach. And I have a problem with Aaron Glenn being a leader, like Salah. But I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be the quarterback next year because he didn't have a great year and he wants to end on a good note. And my problem with Glenn is, how can Glenn handle a player like Aaron Rodgers who wants control of the team? And, you know, if he says, well, I want the offense to be like this, you know, he's a unique character. Do you think Glenn would be able to handle a personality like Aaron Rodgers and take control of the team? Because you need a leader of the team.
Well, Philip, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is as big of an issue in the building that apparently you and others do. I think that's number one. I think that's overplayed. And then the other thing is, like, you know, just use common sense. Who do you think, now it shouldn't necessarily be this way, but who do you think Rodgers will have more respect for? Aaron Glenn, a guy who was a Pro Bowler, or Robert Saleh, who he pushed away after a touchdown?
Yeah, and I don't even know if I'm buying that he didn't have respect for Saleh. If anything, I would think that he's like, God, this guy doesn't know how to coach. But remember, he was backing Saleh. I don't know if that's because he maybe felt like he could run the show a little bit more.
Or he didn't want to perpetuate that stigma around him as a cancerous, what I mean?
I think he would have respect for Aaron Glenn, and I do believe that Glenn would be somebody that, now again, I have no idea. I'm just based off common sense, trying to know Rodgers the best that I can for all the stuff that he said over the years, the enigma stuff, all those things, reading the book about him, knowing that he respects players. I just feel like he would respect Aaron Glenn.
Me too.
I don't know if Glenn would want him around. I also don't think that Glenn would be in a spot where he'd be overpowered by Rodgers the way that Saleh was.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
And the one thing,
because Saleh needed Rodgers. Like, Saleh needed Rodgers to save his ass, basically. Glenn doesn't.
Right. Glenn knows that he's going to have life after Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
But still, he's going to need him to have some success this particular year. And I think they got to be on the same page, where I think that they could get to that. You and I might be in the minority thinking that Rodgers isn't a problem in the building. And
there was
a
long time. I don't really think he is.
Right. I don't either. But we don't know that because I hear some things that would be opposite. And I don't care what I hear because I know what I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Aaron Rodgers is the furthest thing from the problem. I think he's an asset. I think they need to let Rodgers not run the show as far as bringing in the players, but listen to him more because he knows what it takes to win. The same whether you say about Aaron Glenn, he's done it. Well, so is Rodgers. He's still doing it as a player, but he's done it at the highest of levels with the MVPs, with the Super Bowl. He knows what it takes to get a team together. It's a matter of getting guys that want to buy in. He can't say, well, this guy, whoever, Garrett, Sauce, pick a guy, he's not buying in, so get him out. That's not going to happen. They're not going to move on. He's not Rick Pitino who's going to come in here and dictate those things.
Doesn't have that juice.
But I know he still knows what it takes, and I think he could be a great asset to Aaron Glenn. I just don't know how he's viewed inside the actual building.
Well, I think that there's probably some people, like any alpha, that resent him. But I'll tell you what, I think, and I'm fairly confident saying this, that he's much more of an elevator than a suppressor, if you will. But the only way Aaron Rodgers could elevate is if you have your act together. If you're sloppy, if you're lazy, if you're half in, he's going to let you know. And those are the guys that generally have a problem with Aaron Rodgers. And that's too bad. Because when you're trying to eradicate a losing culture that's been systemic forever, you need a guy like Rodgers to elevate. You've got, you know, the high tide. What is it? High tides, rise boats, or raise boats, or whatever whatever the saying is there. You know, he's trying to raise the boats. But right now, they got a bunch of canoes out there.
And that's exactly right. And you see it even more when a guy like Davante Adams, who has also had great success in this league, comes in and is saying the same thing.
It's his best friend.
Correct. But not even just that they're boys. They've had success. They know what it takes to be at the highest of levels in this league. You should be listening to them. They shouldn't be the outliers like, oh, look at these two old men. What do they know?
No, I agree.
And I think you're right. It comes from either jealousy, insecurity, resentment of the alpha male. Now, Rodgers, the one problem is he's not 35
mm-hmm.
or whatever, 32.
No, no.
He's past his prime. So it's harder to act and say the things he says and be the way that he is when he doesn't have his quote-unquote fastball anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that the smart people would be listening to him and following his thought process and learning from him as opposed to fighting back saying, what do you know, you're a dinosaur?
And I think those who are about winning inherently, I think they do listen to him, and I think that they do like him.
Jason is in Brooklyn. What's up, Jason?
Hey, what's up, boys?
Okay.
Before my Aaron Glenn point, can I just applaud you guys and your producers for the music you guys play coming back from breaks? It is fantastic. Always a nice surprise, a throwback. Not necessarily my bailiwick. Not the first thing I'm putting on,
uh-huh.
but I love it. Keep it up. Don't change
there
a thing.
There you go. Well, we did change. Yeah, we did change things around here. So we need some new music around here, some fun music. Hoff has taken over the reins, and there you go.
Oh, so, I wasn't listening. What did he say again?
Yeah. No, you got to check it on the free Odyssey app.
I'll be honest with you, Jay. Sometimes some of the beats I'm like, who is this? Or I don't even
Me
think
too.
I like this. But some I'm like, man, I haven't heard this in a long time. I like this one.
Yeah.
Either way, it's upbeat. Oh. It fits our personalities, I think.
Go ahead, Jason.
It's great.
Nice.
So I'm a Bears fan, and I've been in this perverse cycle of moronic head coaches for the most part since Lovey left. And I just think that the Jets made a good call with Glenn. Why do you want McCarthy? Why do you want Pete Carroll? Pete Carroll's not going to be here for a while, right? He's 73. McCarthy, find me, I am totally willing to hear, the coach who has success in his third spot. Parcells is the only one. Carroll maybe doesn't count because he only spent 1 year with the Jets.
Hmm.
But like, in general, the third time is not that great. Look at John Fox. He was horrendous with the Bears.
Yeah, but he wasn't was even really good. I think it's a good point, Jason, but I also think you should look at each individual and each circumstance differently. Like, Mike McCarthy didn't fail in Green Bay or Dallas. He just happens to be in his third spot. Andy Reid should have never really been in a second spot because you shouldn't have ever let him go to begin with. I know the Eagles have had success, but you tell me if Andy Reid were somehow moving on from the Chiefs, you wouldn't want him just because of the third spot?
Well, no, I would, but he's kind of an outlier. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you look at the coaches, Sal, that have been kind of turned over, they generally don't have success the third time. They it runs out, right? And I just think that, look, the Jets need to find a long-term solution. And maybe Glenn is that guy. Who knows? And most likely he'll get fired. Most likely Ben Johnson will get fired, right? Because that's just the math with this job. I think I agree with you, Sal, with the GM. That's a little quirky. But hey, man, you guys could be Jaguar fans. You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes it feels like I am.
Yeah.
Thanks, boys.
And, thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
There you go.
At least they've been in the playoffs in the last decade.
No, that's
the Jaguars.
True. Yeah, I know. And by the way, how many NFL coaches have actually coached three teams? I know Parcells
is one.
Well,
that's what I was going to ask him for the list.
Schottenheimer's definitely one. He coached about at least four.
Where was
Schottenheimer?
Oh, right. Cleveland first.
Washington
then Kansas
at the end.
City. Oh, right. I forgot
about
that.
Yeah, remember that?
So he went Cleveland, Kansas City, San Diego.
Sounds right.
And
I believe Chargers
were
third. I thought that Washington was fifth. Are we missing one there? Wade Phillips? Bounced around a lot.
He was head coach. I know he had interim with Atlanta, but he was
Saints,
head coach in Dallas.
Dallas.
Was he with the Saints?
I thought he was. I thought so.
Dallas and where else was it? Buffalo? Was he with the Buffalo? Maybe he was the coordinator there. A Chargers, right?
Didn't Wade Phillips coach the Bills? He did.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, Buffalo.
Oh, you said Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
there's not many. Honestly, there's not many coaches.
And again, those guys, like, see, that's why I say it's circumstance. A lot of, like, Bill Parcells really should have never had the opportunity to be a third franchise, but he wanted to quit and then quit again. Like, he got tired of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't the teams firing him. Pete Carroll could have had a third opportunity 10 years ago if he failed in his second stop. He didn't. He had great success, so he had that longevity in Seattle, and he didn't get a third opportunity just because of the age, not because of anything else.
I think that that's a fair point. And, you know, even though the Jets run for Pete Carroll is looked at, you know, kind of with the eyes closed here, the train wreck at the end when they lost every game in December. They were going to make the playoffs, and then they just fell apart. Okay,
right.
He was young. Obviously, you know,
Dick
with
Vermeil
the Patriots. Dick Vermeil, too. Who was the third one? Eagles, Rams, and Dick Vermeil's the
Rams.
But that's
Chiefs.
Only two. Oh, that's right.
Chiefs
yes.
At the end, yeah.
And Herm had a couple. Herm had the Jets. Herm had the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, three is now you're getting into that a little bit of a different territory. The point is, if, say, 8-9 years ago, after a championship, Pete Carroll was like, I want a different challenge. I want to go to a different team. Yeah. Pete Carroll would have been the highest, the hottest commodity on the coaching market.
Kind of like
he would have had a 13.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a 14.
And probably had success. Kind of like Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that he was doing a bad job in New Orleans. It was just like...
It got stale.
Yeah. Dan Reeves, by the way, another one. Denver, Giants.
He
took his third team to a Super Bowl.
The Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons. That's so right. Your guy.
I don't believe that there is... I don't think it's just like, oh, well, the third time head coaches don't work. Same thing with, his second franchise to win a Super Bowl again. Like, it's hard to win a Super Bowl, period. It's not because they're taking over a second franchise. And you can't go from zero to Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What you're trying to do is establish a culture and build the program up, lay the foundation to get you higher.
Yeah, that's hard. I think it's harder. So I've often said, I think now, I'm not coaching at this level, so what do I know? But I think it's harder for, let's say, Aaron Glenn to truly, not for a year, to in a lasting way change the Jets culture and become sustainable winners from where they are now, where they have been for 14 years. I think that that's harder than it is for McDermott to win a Super Bowl, or not Andy Reid, but or Harbaugh to get to it. Like, when you're good, maybe this makes no sense. You tell me. I think it's just a massive jump from completely irrelevant and dysfunction to consistently solid, rather than from solid to championship level.
Right.
You agree with
right.
that?
Yes, because I hate to say it, and it pertains to the Yankees as well, whoever, the championship level, there is an element of, I don't know about luck or roll of the dice, to get from zero to the sustainability, the success every year. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like you're trying to navigate traffic and, you know, from Aaron Glenn, we'll stick with him. He's going through tunnels and honking, and there's cars everywhere. There's a couple of accidents. Whereas with the Yankees, even though they didn't win the World Series, Yankees are on the highway going 75. They've already built up the speed, and unless they get a flat tire, they're good.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We will have Pull Your Card when we come back, as well as a very special announcement that we'll have as it pertains to the BT and Sal show. So stick around for that. Stay tuned for that. We'll get to all that and more. We have Baldy coming up later on. Got to get more in the championship weekend, so there's a lot to do. BT and Sal on the Fan.
You guys are going to like this announcement.
It's that time again. BT and Sal's Pull Your Card.
All right, here we go. We'll pull your card. But first, the announcement that we've been talking about.
Drum roll.
We've hinted at this over the course of the last, I guess, several months that this might be a possibility. There is one special listener who enjoys this segment very much and wanted to participate, wanted to take you and I on in the Pull Your Card game, and that would be...
the skipper of the Yankees, Aaron Boone, will be here next week.
Coming in studio.
In studio.
Tuesday. So make sure you stay locked in for that. This guy was texting me last night. I'm like, I'm at the Johnny's game. Will you leave me alone?
Yeah, he didn't write that back, you knucklehead.
No, but he's a great texter, Aaron Boone.
You were telling
Boone.
Me that. Why don't you read my favorite text where he referenced me?
Well, again, I told you. I called him last week. It was like, hey, I thought this was tyranny. And then again last night, I'm like, all right. Because the first day he writes back, he's like, hey, can you do it the 29th? I'm like... of course I can't do it that day. I'm sorry, but I can't because I have freaking eye surgery
on that Wednesday. 3 months.
And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, we're going to blow our opportunity to have him in. He's like, no, I'm good. Just get back to me later in the day. We'll figure something out. So I texted him last night, and I just go, hey, does any of these dates work? Blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'd rather deal with Tierney and send me some Yankee.
The Yankee flag gif. He knows. He's no dummy. That is great. I'll tell you.
Hey, Booney. Soda.
Oh.
Whoa! Let's go, Booty! You're going down!
Oh, man. You see, that's what's going to be so awesome. We'll have fun with the card game. Hopefully we win. He's going to be very hard to beat. I don't know. He's only a baseball lifer and a third-generational Boone. So that's going to be very tough. But we're going to have him in likely for an entire hour. Obviously, talk some football. He's going to the Eagles game this weekend.
I love that.
He's a crazy fan.
I'm like, you can handle that cold? And he says, he's all bundled up in Eagles gear. He went to the last game. The snow game. So he's all nuts.
He wouldn't leave you alone after a while. He's kind of like a single white female. Remember that movie?
It was a lot of fun.
He's kind
of... But I love that. I knew you would love it. I couldn't wait to tell you today. He was like, I'd rather deal with Tierney instead of the Yankee thing.
Booty, listen, hey. We're going to double team this guy if he gets out of hand. Don't you worry, Boone.
No,
you know how it's coming,
Boone.
Until he gets Mendy in here, which Mendy doesn't have the guts to challenge us in this game, we got it.
Yeah, at some point, I'm going to need Mendy to balance things out here. I mean, come on. All right, let's go. So
that is awesome.
Big announcement. He will be Aaron Boone in studio with us next Tuesday. Looking forward to that. All right, you want to start us
off? I'll hit you first.
Okay, go ahead.
You are doing 1990 Flair. Okay. I know it's Flair. Like
Flair.
I say Flair. Okay. I've always said Flair.
Like Ric Flair?
Or like, wow, you know, she's got a lot of Flair.
No,
F-L-A-I-R. Yeah,
here.
I know.
Okay.
I just say Flair.
After you read each card, go, woo!
Yeah. All right, you ready? Okay, Eric. Well, I have 15, by the way, so you can count up after. Okay. Eric Hansen. Well, you said you liked Hansen, boo-op, a doo-op, whatever that stupid song is.
Big. For some reason, I'm thinking big pitcher.
He's a pitcher. I don't know if he's big. Let me see the height. 6. Yeah, it looks like he's about 6'5".
Okay, so
fairly solid. Look at you.
Now I
neighborhood.
I think there's two teams that I'm torn between.
Okay.
I
would have no clue.
I'm
going to
guess
guy.
Padres.
Seattle. What was that, the other team? It doesn't
Blue
sound
Jays,
like it was. All right, no, 0-1. All right, next. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Joe McGrain.
Now, this is 90. I know who he is. He's a pitcher. Yep. I'm going to say pitcher Cardinals.
Correct.
Okay.
1-2. Oh, a svelte David Wells. Boomer.
It's a tough one because you're
all
it's a tough over
one.
The place.
Yeah, a little bouncing around early on.
I'm still going to say Toronto.
Good call.
Okay.
2-3. Boone, you hear this?
Whoa!
this one's too easy. Tommy Herr, three hitter for
no,
those.
It's not that easy in 1990. You threw me off now.
Oh, okay.
Shoot. You really screwed me. I think it was, he was with the Mets later, and I want to say Phillies later. I'm still going to say Cardinals.
Okay. I'm sorry to do this to you. I won't do this with Boone, but I had to throw you off scent there. When I said this was easy, I'm saying
you led me Cardinals?
Yeah, in my mind, I'm thinking you're going to think it's Phillies.
No, you screwed me on that one. It's not fair.
I did.
At least, all right. Yeah.
2-4.
That's the tough part. Like
I know.
The year 90, I don't remember exactly. And these are Fleer cards, so it's not like the tops in my mind.
That's true.
It's a different challenge.
That's true.
But go ahead.
But it's still the same player in the same year, so how is it different?
Well, because if
actually the image.
Yes.
I got
of opening the cards or playing with the cards as a kid. Where
all right.
I
got Jim Corsi. Corsi.
Yeah.
Hard C.
Blue Jays?
No, the A's.
Hmm.
2-5.
What position did he play?
Pitcher.
Okay.
How about Jeff Robinson? Do you know the position?
Pirates.
Good job.
Okay.
Good job.
Pitcher
Sal?
With the Pirates.
Hear that, Booney? Even when we get a couple wrong, we bounce back. Jose Alvarez.
Be lying if I said I'm familiar with that one. The other ones I've been familiar with so far, Jose Cleveland?
No, pitcher for the Braves back in the day. 3-7. How about a little Don Robinson? You should probably remember. I don't know if the team's incredibly easy, but I know you know the name.
Don Robinson?
Yeah. See, I'm looking, and it's not the team that I thought, but it's...
I don't know.
I don't want to give it away.
San Francisco.
Yes.
Oh, yes!
And he was a Pirate for like 12 years. That's what I remember.
That was a total... Now, I went with your theory.
Wow.
I went West Coast.
Are you serious? That was a total guess.
Total guess.
Oh, man.
You're in trouble, buddy.
Yeah, even when we guess, our instincts take us to the right spot. Scotty Bankhead, I know you know this guy.
Yes.
Right-handed pitcher.
Pitcher, Seattle.
Attaboy. All right, 5-9. How about Ken Caminiti? Simple.
Don't do this with the simple again.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even do that one intentionally. It still might get in your head, but I didn't do it intentionally.
1990.
90 Flair. Flair.
Astros.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
Sometimes I get the timeline mixed up, but he won an MVP with the Padres, I think, in 98.
Yes, he did. That's when he was all hopped up and all. Yeah, he's pretty skinny in this picture. Dave Stewart,
Terry Collins loves, I mean, I know Caminiti has passed away.
Loved him as a player?
Loved him. I guarantee you, I didn't ask him this, but if I would say top three players you've ever managed, Caminiti would be one of them.
Now, obviously, Ken was a really good player, but was it also about his
attitude?
And,
all that stuff, yeah.
Dave Stewart. Who was just promoted with the A's. I think I heard on the radio somewhere.
Right,
or
so
TVs
my question
recently.
Is... Yeah, this was
nicknamed Smoke.
This predates the Blue Jays, so I'm going to go Oakland.
You're going to go right. You're crushing it. I think you're going to kill me in this pack. Ivan Calderon.
Oh,
I know
Sox.
You know him. Yeah, look at those Yodis right there.
Yeah,
look at the high stirrups,
love
too.
Love those old school
That's
Yodis.
A good look right there. All right, you're killing this, dude. 8-10. Herm Winningham.
Yeah.
I remember him. But I would not get the team right. But I remember him well.
There's a tough
Wasn't he in a Mets trade back in the day? He was.
I don't recall. I know him mostly as an Expo, but I'm going to guess Cincinnati.
Wasn't he in the Gary Carter trade?
He might have been.
I think he was.
Where was
Who'd
he?
You say?
He? Cincinnati.
You got it.
Yeah,
dude.
That's an impressive one.
That's
right there.
A good pull. I would not have gotten that one. Zane Smith. I know you know that name as well.
Yeah. Lefty pitcher.
Okay. You got the pitcher part right. Yep. Lefty.
The only question here. Oh, actually, there's a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Because I remember him with Pittsburgh, but I also remember him with Atlanta and Montreal. And I'm going to guess that Montreal was in between. So I'm going to go Expos.
You got it. Ooh.
These are some tough ones that I'm nailing here.
10 for 12.
I'm ready for you, Booney. I'm not losing it.
No Yankees!
except when we play them in the World Series, of course.
When it matters. Now I take things into my own hands.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Elvis Burks. This is an easy one. You gonna get this.
Yeah, well, I mean, 87. This is 90. I'm going to say Red Sox.
You're going to get it right. That might be one of your best efforts. Booney, I mean, 11 for 13.
And even the one that I missed, it's I should have had with Tommy here. All right.
All right, we're a little late, so go ahead. I don't think I'm going to beat you here.
This
just
is a tough fact. 88. Now remember, 88 tops.
Yeah, I got it. 88, not officially the wheelhouse, but all right, go ahead.
Mike Socia.
Mike Socia's on the Dodgers at that point. I remember playing the Mets, obviously. One for one. Next.
Steve Onoveros.
I think he was a pitcher.
Yes.
Yeah. Was he with Braves? No.
Oakland.
Okay. I do remember him against the Yanks, but my bad.
Manager card here.
Okay.
Cal Ripken Sr.
With the Orioles.
Yes. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm pulling the pack here.
You have a little defensive here. I got a lot of ground to make up, buddy.
What? I don't know that.
No. I just little out of my roots here.
Nick Isasky.
Oh, with the Reds.
Yeah.
Nick was a good ball player.
You go, three
Nick Isasky. Was it Nick Isasky? One of those guys got...
It's like you, the right-handed first baseman,
yes!
Right?
Yeah. Well, Nick, was it Nick? I think it was Nick Isasky. What's that disease when you get bit by Lyme disease? No, not Lyme disease.
Wasn't it...
No. When your vision and your depth perception is really distorted. One of those guys that played... Anyway, I got it right. But one of those guys who played first base for that team wound up getting that disease... And it really impacted his play, and he fell off the map. 3 for 4.
Eric Show or Shao?
Shao. Okay, was a pitcher.
Eric Shao, yeah.
88. What am I? Am 88. I doing 88 or not?
88.
Eric Shao. All right. It's either the A's or the Yankees. I know that for a fact. I feel like Eric Shao, it's definitely not Show, was a righty pitcher, was more on the bad Yankee teams with Stump. Oh, Eric Shaw could have been a Padre as well. Oof, that is just damn it. Padres.
Yes.
Let's go.
Good pull.
Thank you.
I gave it away with my eyes, I think.
4 for 5.
Brett Butler.
Ooh, I could mess this one up. Jeez. Oh, 88, I don't think he was on the Dodgers. Great bunter. Indians back then. Who was the outfielder? Like, I don't think he played in that NLCS against the Dodgers. Kirk Gibson was out there on one leg. Stubbs was playing first.
You don't need to guess here. We're up against it.
I would say the Dodgers, but I'm going to be wrong.
Cleveland.
Damn it.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. I knew it.
Tim Conroy.
Astros. I don't know this one. I'm not going to waste
Cardinals
your time.
Lefty pitcher.
4 for 7.
Jerry Reuss. Jerry Royce.
Jerry Royce was, Jerry Royce actually pitched against the Yankees, I want to say, in the 78 World Series. I think he gave up one of those home runs to Reggie.
He looks old.
He is old.
Picture.
I don't know if he's still on the Dodgers. I don't think he was. I don't know. I'm going to say Dodgers, but I don't think that I'm right. He was on the Dodgers in the 70s for sure.
Angels.
Yeah, I didn't think he was still there.
Danny Heap,
at this point, he was gone from the Mets.
Correct.
He was not on those Metsies. He was Nolan Ryan's, I want to say, 3,000 strikeout victim at the Astrodome in the mid-80s. Danny Heap. Pirates? No. Danny Heap. He's not a Met. Who? Texas?
No. Who? Dodgers. He was a part of that NLCS team.
He was.
Or World Series team. Rob Patterson. Excuse me, Bob Patterson. Bob Patterson.
Difference.
Yeah.
He said Joe Patterson. Reds.
Pirates.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Rob Murphy.
Ace.
Reds.
Yeah.
Paul O'Neill.
What year?
88.
It was on the Reds.
Correct.
Yeah.
Terry Poole.
I remember Terry primarily as an Astro, and I'm going to say he's still on the Astros at this point.
Good pull.
Let's
go. Darryl Miller.
Outfielder?
Yes.
Okay. He's not on the Pirates. They had like Van Slyke and Bonds. It's not there. Seattle.
California.
Yeah. Maybe.
Bill Madlock.
Mad Dog. He was on, I don't think he was on the Dodgers here. He won the batting titles, most of them with the Pirates. He was not with the Pirates at this point. I'll say the Dodgers, but I don't feel great about it.
Tigers.
Yeah, I didn't think he was still there.
I think 6 for 15.
Yeah,
that was a tough pack,
man.
That was a tough back. All right, we'll get you updated. We'll get back on track here.
And by the way, Booney, that's about as bad as it gets right there, Aaron. And that was a bad, for me, that was a bad pack. That's as bad as it gets. That's Booney, like me going 0 for 4.
He actually just texted me.
What'd he say?
BT embarrassed all Yankee fans with that.
Yeah, okay. There's no chance he said that.
Sal, you're a legend.
No chance.